Blog Talk Radio.
There is a watchman on the wall, bringing forth the written word of God to one and all. Are you getting ready? Will you stand or will you fall? Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the wall.
Arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. A new day has dawned. All over the earth, men and women are arising. It's time for the sons of God to awake. It is a day of justice, recompense, restoration, revival, and resurrection power.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is Vincent Xavier, pastor of New Wine Ministries. Good to be with you on this D-Day, celebrated all the way back to World War II, and there is a message in this particular day, and we're going to remember what D-Day was all about. And I want to just say that there was a D-Day 2,000 years ago when the Lord Jesus Christ went to the cross. It was D-Day when heaven invaded hell. Amen. Can you imagine on the cross 2,000 years ago, the greatest deliverance day ever in the history of mankind commenced? While we do not neglect to remember D-Day, to go back and remember that that was the time, as we said yesterday, when President Roosevelt gave his incredible speech and his prayer for this country. And we're going to talk a little bit more about that. But folks, there was no greater D-Day invasion against the powers of darkness than on the cross of Calvary 2,000 years ago. That's our Memorial Day. That's the D-Day that we will remember. Well, we're going to talk a little bit more about that as we go. But in what will probably be the last large commemoration to the greatest generation, the Dax over Normandy event was conducted a day before on June 5th, in which 250 men and women boarded vintage World War II aircraft, flew across the English Channel wearing World War II uniforms. The paratroopers jumped into the historic drop zones of Normandy. Among those paratroopers was 97-year-old D-Day veteran Tom Rice. And codenamed Operation Overlord, D-Day, which was on June 6, 1944, began at 6:30 a.m. when an Allied force of 156,000 troops, made up of primarily Americans, Britons, and Canadians, landed on five beaches, stretching 50 miles along a heavily fortified coast in Normandy, France. French, Australian, Belgian, Czech, Dutch, Greek, New Zealand, Norwegian, Rhodesian, and Polish soldiers also participated. The sands of those five beaches, codenamed Utah, Omaha, Gold, Juno, and Sword, would soon be red with blood as the German machine gunners, infantry, and light artillery attempted to defend Adolf Hitler's sea wall. On most of the beaches, the Allied assault went pretty much as planned. However, at Omaha Beach, units of the American 1st Infantry Division faced stiff resistance from German infantry units dug in the heights above them. Hitler had instructed Field Marshal Erwin Rommel, his one-time Africa Corps commander, to prepare for an invasion in the fall of 1943. Rommel pushed his men to build fortifications and bunkers, set up barbed wire, dig trenches, and place obstacles on the beach at low and high tide levels. The German field marshal also wanted 12 to 15 million mines laid before the Allies landed, a goal that, fortunately for the Allies, the Germans never came close to completing. Historian Stephen E. Ambrose noted in his book, D-Day, June 6, 1944, The Climatic Battle of World War II, that when the Allied attack began, there was no German counterattack. The surprise was complete. The Germans had thought the Allied attack would come at Pas de Calais, 185 miles away, instead of Normandy. The bulk of their tank or panzer divisions were now north and east of the Seine River, unavailable for helping their troops in Normandy. The Allies had been successful with their secrecy, and they would also be successful on D-Day. By the end of the day, the Allies had established a foothold and would begin their advance into France. As a result, in just 11 months, Germany would be defeated and Europe would be free. Now, according to recently updated statistics by the U.S. National D-Day Memorial Foundation, there were 2,499 American D-Day fatalities, 1,915 killed from the other Allied nations, for a total of 4,414 dead. The total German casualties are not known, but are estimated to have been between 4,000 and 9,000 men. So at the White House, as we said yesterday, President Franklin Delano Roosevelt monitored early reports from the front. That evening, he made a statement to the American people, which he read as a prayer. His prayer was broadcast on radio networks nationwide. And here it is. My fellow Americans, he said, last night when I spoke with you about the fall of Rome, I knew at that moment that troops of the United States and our allies were crossing the channel in another and greater operation. It has come to pass with success thus far. And so in this poignant hour, I ask you to join with me in prayer. And he began, Almighty God, our sons, pride of our nation, this day have set upon a mighty endeavor, a struggle to preserve our republic, our religion, and our civilization, and to set free a suffering humanity. Let them lead them straight and true. Give strength to their arms, stoutness to their hearts, steadfastness in their faith. They will need thy blessings. Their road will be long and hard, for the enemy is strong. He may hurl back our forces. Success may not come with rushing speed, but we shall return again and again. And we know that by thy grace and by the righteousness of our cause, our sons will triumph. They will be sore tried by night and by day, without rest, until the victory is won. The darkness will be rent by noise and flame. Men's souls will be shaken with the violences of war. For these men are lately drawn from the ways of peace. They fight not for the lust of conquest. They fight to end conquest. They fight to liberate. They fight to let justice arise and tolerance and goodwill among all thy people. They yearn but for the end of battle, for their return to the haven of home. Some will never return. Embrace these, Father, and receive them, thy heroic servants, into thy kingdom. And for us at home, fathers, mothers, children, wives, sisters and brothers of brave men overseas, whose thoughts and prayers are ever with them, help us, Almighty God, to rededicate ourselves in renewed faith in Thee in this hour of great sacrifice. Many people have urged that I call the nation into a single day of special prayer, but because the road is long and the desire is great, I ask that our people devote themselves in a continuance of prayer as we rise to each new day. And again, when each day is spent, let words of prayer be on our lips, invoking thy help to our efforts. Give us strength too, strength in our daily tasks, to redouble the contributions we make in the physical and the material support of our armed forces. And let our hearts be stout to wait out the long travail, to bear sorrows that may come, to impart our courage unto our sons wheresoever they may be. And, O Lord, give us faith. Give us faith in Thee, faith in our sons, faith in each other, faith in our united crusade. Let not the keenness of our spirit ever be dulled. Let not the impacts of temporary events, of temporal matters, of but fleeting moment, let not these deter us in our unconquerable purpose. With thy blessing, we shall prevail over the unholy forces of our enemy. Help us to conquer the apostles of greed and racial arrogancies. Lead us to the saving of our country and with our sister nations into a world unity that will spell a sure peace, a peace invulnerable to the schemings of unworthy men, and a peace that will let all of men live in freedom, reaping the just rewards of their honest toil. Thy will be done, Almighty God. Amen. Well, Congress passed the World War II Memorial Prayer Act in 2013, and it was signed into law by President Barack Obama. It directed the U.S. Secretary of the Interior to install a plaque at the World War II Memorial located on the National Mall in Washington, D.C., containing the words of President Roosevelt's prayer. Well, since the act specified that no federal funds were to be used to prepare, install the plaque, or prepare the inscription, the memorial plaque still remains under development, according to the present news. So here is a very interesting time in the history of the United States of America. I was not born in 1944. I was not alive. Maybe some of you out there were not born at that time either, but it was a time in the history of our country. Those of you that were born and aware of what was going on in the country at that time, I'd love to hear from you, your personal thoughts and what you thought about the D-Day invasion. Did you hear the actual prayer of the president? And the prayer really strikes a chord with me, and I'm sure it does with you as well. And when I look back at it and I hear this prayer, Almighty God, our sons, pride of our nation, this day have set upon a mighty endeavor, a struggle to listen, to preserve our republic. He's talking about the American Republic, our religion, which was the religion of Christianity, and our civilization, and to set free a suffering humanity. The cause was righteous. And yet today, we know, and we've said this yesterday as well, that it appears World War III is all around us. As a matter of fact, let me just share part of an article with you that has recently come forward. The most survivable leg of the U.S. strategic nuclear triad of bombers, land-based intercontinental ballistic missiles, also known as ICBMs, and ballistic missile submarines are the submarines. They're the most survivable leg of the U.S. strategic nuclear triad of bombers. Ballistic missile submarines are the last best line of deterrence and defense to defeat surprise nuclear attack. Today, U.S. strategic bombers and ICBMs have never been more vulnerable to surprise attack. U.S. strategic bomber bases are reduced from 45 during the Cold War to just 3 today. Unlike Cold War readiness, today, no U.S. strategic bombers are nuclear armed, on strip alert, ready to fly on short warning. None of them. Even North Korea could destroy all U.S. B-52 and B-2 bombers by surprise nuclear attack on their 3 bases at Minot Air Force Base, which is in North Dakota, Whitman Air Force Base in Missouri, and Barksdale Air Force Base in Louisiana. U.S. ICBMs, on the other hand, are reduced from about 1,000 during the Cold War, armed with about 2,000 warheads, to 400 ICBMs with 400 warheads today. Russia's SS-18 ICBM, armed with 10 warheads, or China's DF-5 ICBM, also 10 warheads, could, with just 50 missiles, deliver 500 warheads, having yield accuracy combinations capable of a disarming surprise first strike, destroying all U.S. strategic command centers like NORAD headquarters at Peterson Air Force Base and NORAD's alternate headquarter inside Cheyenne Mountain. It would destroy all U.S. strategic bombers and all U.S. ICBMs. And 2/3 of U.S. SSBNs, 9 to 10 submarines, normally anchored at Kings Bay, Georgia, and Bangor, Washington. Thus, the chief U.S. deterrent against surprise nuclear attack are 4 or 5 U.S. SSBNs normally on patrol at sea. These are the submarines. From a total fleet numbering 14 ballistic missile submarines, reduced from 35 to 45 Cold War SSBNs. Today's 14 Ohio-class SSBNs will be replaced beginning in 2031 with a smaller new fleet numbering 12 Columbia-class SSBNs, slightly reducing submarines sustainable on daily patrol from 4 to 5 boats to 4. Anything that threatens survivability of U.S. submarines on patrol at sea would fundamentally undermine U.S. nuclear deterrent credibility and could have the gravest consequences imaginable, including inviting a surprise nuclear attack. So due to Russian cheating on the 1991 Presidential Nuclear Initiative, the U.S. retains only about 180 aged tactical nuclear gravity bombs bunkered in Germany and Turkey. Gone are virtually all 15,000 U.S. tactical nuclear weapons dismantled more or less unilaterally. Today, Russia's advantage in tactical nuclear weapons is overwhelming, outnumbering the U.S. by at least 10-1, and perhaps much more. Russia originally had 20,000 tactical nuclear weapons, which some official Russian sources claim is reduced to 7,000, not to 2,000 weapons, assumed by most U.S. analysts, making Russia's superiority only 10-1, not 35-1. So moreover, Russia has new generation tactical and strategic nuclear weapons for specialized effects, having no counterparts in the U.S. nuclear deterrent. Russia's numerical and technological advantages in nuclear weapons supports a dangerous new strategy of nuclear blackmail and warfighting, wherein Moscow thinks about prevailing over NATO through nuclear intimidation, limited nuclear use, or if necessary, all-out nuclear war. China, on the other hand, is moving in the same direction, deploying increasingly sophisticated offensive nuclear capabilities. Until recently, North Korea has successfully been nuclear blackmailing the U.S. and allies for years. Pyongyang in 2017 successfully tested an H-bomb they describe as capable of super powerful electromagnetic pulse, EMP, attack that could black out North America. The U.S., to address the crisis, plans deploying a tactical nuclear weapon, the W-76-2, on Ohio and Columbia ballistic missile submarines to counter these growing tactical and strategic nuclear threats. The Heritage Foundation's Michaela Dodge, in her excellent report, New Start and the Future of U.S. Nuclear Strategy, notes the very grave implication of using the W-76-2 to convert SSBNs into tactical nuclear weapons platforms. Those are the submarines. And here's what she said. To understand the seriousness of the issue, one must realize that uploading a low-yield warhead on a Trident II D5 SLBM means that the United States is not able to use these particular missiles for its higher-yield nuclear warheads, thus trading off part of its strategic nuclear weapons capability for tactical nuclear weapons. Yet, the Trump administration judged the developments in Russia's doctrine to be so serious that it was willing to make that trade. Currently, U.S. Ohio-class SSBNs each carry 20 missiles, reduced from 24, with a mix of high-yield strategic warheads, some missiles armed with the W-76-1 warhead, which is 100 kilotons, and some with the W-88 warhead, 475 kilotons. Their yield accuracy combinations can hold at risk hundreds of adversary highest value targets, including hardened underground bunkers, military bases, and industrial targets. So the capability of U.S. SSBNs to threaten adversary highest value targets deters nuclear war. In the event of nuclear conflict, our high-yield W-76-1 and W-88 warheads would deter attack against U.S. highest value targets, including U.S. cities and 330 million American lives. The W-76-2 tactical nuclear weapon is just the primary of the W-76-1, reducing its yields from 100 kilotons to 5 kilotons. So, you know, as this article goes just a little bit deeper, and it's a rather lengthy article, and I won't bore you with all of the reading. Here's what's safe to say. On Fox Business News yesterday, there was on the ticker tape the Red Storm. The Red Storm is forming. And something happened yesterday where Russia and China signed an agreement, an alliance of some sort. And it was the Red Storm rising of communism. We have talked about in our Bible studies in the book of Revelation about the number of people that will die in World War III and in the beginning of the last days. We have counted the numbers with a general number of 7 billion people that are alive on the planet. And when you do the math, it's very clear that in World War III, when we begin the end times, the last days on planet Earth, according to the book of Revelation, 3.5 billion people, that's with a B, 3.5 billion calculated in the book of Revelation, will die in this end time war. And it's not just the war of the sixth trumpet, but it's also the opening of the seals that bring about these wars with the red sword and also with hunger and famine and death, everything that Jesus Christ talked about. Now, we're living in an age where nuclear war is very real. And there are predictions, there have been visions and dreams of major nuclear bombs going off in major cities throughout the United States. Some claim they would be suitcase nuclear weapons that would be smuggled in and are already here through terror cells, sleeper cells, with all the different movement of the hidden forces within our nation. Nobody knows the day and the hour of the first nuclear bomb going off or when the nuclear exchange will take place at a global level. We just know that there will be World War III. And because we are living in the context of the last days, it's not unusual to consider the possibility that we are the generation that will witness these end time events. And it's not that God is doing it. It is that God has predicted it because God is the first and the last, the beginning and the end. We just know that God knows what the future is. He's been to the future. He's written to us about the future. And we and our generation have arrived at the future. And who would have ever dreamed that that kind of mass casualty, could take place. World War I, World War II wasn't even close to that. I mean, it was a lot of people dead, 50 million here, 75 million here. But we're talking 3.5 billion and the kind of weapons that will be employed at that time. Now, how do you survive that? Same way people survived World War I, World War II. Being in the right place, the right time, doing the right thing with the right people right now. But again, I want to clarify that the United States of America in 1944 had a very moral standing. We did fight a righteous cause to preserve our republic, to preserve our religion, our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, where we have churches on throughout our nation, and to defend our civilization, and then to fight for the freedom of a suffering humanity under the cruel bondages of dictators of socialism and communism. And yet, those very forces have never left the planet. Those demonic spirits are still here. Those principalities and powers are moving in the highest echelons of man's government. The Antichrist spirit is everywhere, and it's just more sophisticated today. They have more weaponry today. They have more sophistication and strategy and intelligence today. And unfortunately, the American population, the United States of America, has a moral bankruptcy that we have degenerated into such an immoral condition that the majority of people are drowning in perdition within our nation. And that is a sad fact. In 1944, there was no abortion, shedding of innocent blood. In 1944, homosexuals were not permitted to walk in the limelight of society. In 1944, we didn't have pornography. There was no swearing out of Hollywood on our television screens. There was no pornography on our cell phones and on our computers. In 1944, it was a disgrace to get divorced. In 1944, there was a much more moral condition. And what we have witnessed in one generation is the complete and total invasion of the mind of man in our nation and around the world. And what cause are we now fighting? Today, we are living, as Daniel said yesterday, in the inverted morality where good is evil, evil is good, dark is light, light is dark, bitter is sweet, sweet is bitter. And what does this mean for you and I? You and I that are listening right now, we know that around the world we're seeing earthquakes, we're seeing famines, we're seeing fires, we're seeing hurricanes, we're seeing flooding, we're seeing tornadoes, we're seeing school shootings, church shootings, synagogue shootings, mosque shootings, concert shootings. We're seeing all kinds of things going on, a divided nation. We've seen in the 2016 elections what the potential for our dismantling is. A house divided cannot stand. All we hear every day is about the impeachment of Donald J. Trump. And then recently, you know, there's an article, as many of us were so deeply concerned about the latest tweets from President Trump saying that he wanted the whole world to stand with the LGBTQ community because, you know, it's Gay Pride Month. And we were disheartened and we were sickened and we were disappointed. And we said, Mr. President, we voted for a Josiah, and Josiah destroyed the house of the Sodomites, not through, you know, he did it physically, but the destruction of this LGBTQ movement needs to be stopped in order to make America great again, because America was great when it was illegal and you went to prison for the homosexual acts, abortion, and all these other things. And so he wants to decriminalize, and this is his rhetoric and all of that that he's been talking about. Around the world, he wants people to stop criminalizing the homosexual community. But then out of the Daily Beast, the homosexual, pro advocacy website, I guess it is the Daily Beast. They're saying that his whole thing is a strategy. The LGBTQ community is condemning him, saying it's a ploy. It's a political ploy. Everything he's done has been against and to stop the LGBTQ community. But now, because the election is drawing near and he needs that vote, he's getting politically cozy, but the LGBTQ community supposedly is not going along with that. So again, tremendous propaganda, trickery, and all of these different things. You and I are living in the midst of this. Growing World War III. Pestilence, sicknesses, diabetes is on the rise throughout our nation. We are being like fatted calf for the slaughter. Obesity, overweightness, not because of genetically designed problems, but because of eating too many cupcakes and ding-dongs, the massive intake of sugar. We are being inundated with sensuality and sexuality to such a degree that men have no longer any confidence to stand up and do what is right because they've been taken captive by the demonic spirits of lust through pornography and the television and all sensuality. And we've been dumbed down and distracted by so many things, our cell phones. They're saying now that 79% of children are going to bed with their cell phones. And in the middle of the night, they're seeing what's going on in social media. So there's a medical condition that they're not getting their rest. That the majority of adults, 69% of adults, they keep that phone in hand reach. And in the middle of the night, the thing's going off with little signs and signals. And there's an addiction that is being formed here. People can't get away from their phones. We have been completely distracted. There is a massive undertaking and overtaking of the things that are going on in our country. We are not fit for the battle, in other words. The battle of 1944, that particular D-Day, when we went to fight for the salvation of the world, since that time, we've been exporting pornography. Since that time, we've been exporting abortion. Since that time, we've been exporting all the different things of the satanic realm that we export around the world, the music that we have, the rebellious, defiant music that has taken a generation of young people's minds has been spread. We're no longer fighting the right cause. We are a weakened people. We are a weakened people. Women are taking control of the powers in a godless sense. Well, I thank God I have a wife that knows a little bit about the strategic Holy Spirit power. Patricia Joy Xavier, good morning. How are you this morning?
Well,
Woo!
We're getting into some heavy duty times. And I think one of the things that are most important at this moment is to really know the truth. Oh, my goodness. There's so much deception out there. You don't know which way to turn, which way to think. And there's only one answer to our problem that I know of. We must keep our eyes on Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And that will be the answer to every problem we have. And I don't mean this lightly. I mean this very seriously. Every challenge we'll ever have to face is going to be answered through Jesus Christ. As you ministered yesterday, his word by the conjunction of the Holy Spirit is the answer to our lives this very moment, so that we can get through, break through, and stand unmovable in all of the deception around us. Keep your eyes on Yeshua.
Well, that is the whole idea behind this. It's to realize. And the reason why we talk about these things is not just to be dramatic. It's not to just, kind of flip out and say the sky is falling. But Patricia, the sky is falling.
Yeah.
And there is a tremendous amount of drama going on in the world today. Some of it is a charade. Some of it is, the left and the right having martinis together at night and laughing about how they're fooling the American population and the world around them. There is globalization involved. There is so much political shenanigans going on. But the reality is there's a real devil, and he is seeking about whom he may devour, and he's operating in the hearts and minds of people around the world. And the Bible declares that a day of destruction is coming upon the nations of the earth, and we're going to get into the long haul of it. And the new warriors of this end time epic battle are going to be the born again, spirit filled Christians, as Franklin Delano Roosevelt prayed for the sons that were going to Germany. Well, the prayer today is from the commander-in-chief of the armies of God, Jesus Christ, to the Father. I'm sending sons and daughters into the end-time battle. May you be with them and give them the equipping and the strategic warfare they need to endure to the end, to go through this battle to the end and win. And our battle is not against flesh and blood. It is against principalities, powers, spiritual wickedness in high places, the dark forces of evil. We must be equipped for this battle because many, the majority, are going to be taken out, Patricia Joy.
I know that. And you know what is even more alerting is that we will be distracted in multitudes of ways, and mostly through the media and the technology,
cell phones, TVs,
yes,
yeah.
It's going to constantly try to drive us in another direction, because what we're receiving from it, we're not positive it's always truth and accurate. So we are going in and out on a daily basis, trying to see whether or not we are going in the direction God has called us to go to through. But because of the great confusion, we become confused and we don't know where we are. Give you an example, the account of Peter walking on the water. That's a great example of what you could accomplish if we will keep our eyes on Jesus, because Jesus is not just Jesus. Jesus is God Almighty in flesh when he came to this earth, and he was the Word itself. Now, that may be hard for some of you to understand, but the anointing of Jesus Christ must be upon us through the Holy Spirit to keep our eyes fixed in the right and proper way on truth. And Peter was bold enough to step out in faith in order to walk on the water, even in the midst of the storm raging around him, where we're trying to walk on water with a storm raging around us. And as long as Peter kept his eyes on the Lord, he was able to do something that defied natural law. And that's what we're trying to do. Defy natural law that is trying to engulf us and squeeze the life out of us. He was walking in the supernatural just like Jesus was. My God, this is what he was wanting to accomplish. So Peter literally became what he was beholding. As he beheld what Jesus was doing, Jesus enabled him to do the same. Okay? Now the Word of God does that for us. But Peter then began to look at the natural things that were taking place around and about him. He saw the waves rising higher and higher, like it is now with all of the false words that are coming, false media, false, so many things that are not true. And the waves were rising higher and higher, and he felt the winds increasing to a phenomenal speed, and it's coming against him like it's coming against us. And his physical senses began to take over, and we cannot do that. And all of a sudden, he was no longer focused on Jesus. As a result, he began to sink, causing Jesus to catch him and save him from drowning. Oh, Lord God, help us not to go there.
Well, amen to that. And Jesus was faithful to do it, thank God. And he did step out. But let's, I want, if you're in a place right now where you could just close your eyes, or if you have the ability to imagine something through your sanctified imagination, I want to present some territory to everybody out there right now. I believe this is by the Holy Spirit. If you could envision back in 1944, okay, World War II, D-Day, we sent our soldiers over to the European continent. We sent them into the battle zone. God has sent you into the war zone. The war zone that you are in, where you've landed, you've been recruited into the end time army of God, you've landed on planet Earth. The war zone is the entire planet. It's being fought all over the world. In this war, we are walking through the land, every one of us. It is hostile territory. But we are looking for the captives to set them free. We must have, and I believe we do, the armor of God. We are equipped for the battle. And folks, we're being called to the front lines. I believe that you and I need to have a divine perspective of what's really going on from the heavenly view. You and I must understand that the day we were born again, we were sealed by the Holy Spirit and we were commissioned into the battle. Heaven rejoices over one soul that is saved. All the angels of God. Why am I telling you this? Because rather than just being like the American citizenry that were hanging out over in America while the soldiers were fighting and they were praying and working and laboring and travailing and doing all of that, we have to understand that there is a frontline battle being fought, and you and I are being raised up by the Spirit of God to go to the front line to bring the battle to the enemy. And there will be many casualties. There's no doubt. There are many casualties in this war. It's a spiritual war. The armor of God is your protective clothing. The Spirit, the sword of the Spirit, is the Word of God that you have. And as you walk today, as you go out today, ever mindful that there are enemies and snipers and tactics and strategies against your life. That's not to advocate paranoia. It's the truth. The world, the God of this world, has many captives. He's got stratagem all over the world. You are known in the spiritual realm. You're a warrior. Your job is to walk cautiously and carefully, to go in, to set the captives free, to bring the Word of God, and to know your assignment. How important is that, Patricia, for Christians to recognize and know their assignment and calling in this life?
It is ultimately the most purposed reason for living. But, Vincent, I recall Peter again, and he started out with his focus on Jesus, but got distracted by what was going on around him. And I'm convinced that everything the devil does in our lives is to get us to take our eyes off of Yeshua. And every bill, every irritation in our marriage, every pain in our body is designed to prevent us from walking in the supernatural realm, which is where our deliverance, our healing, and our prosperity are obtained. This is where we receive. Often it's hard to behold the Lamb of God and keep our eyes fixed on Him. But those who endure to the end, the same shall be saved.
Well, amen. And you bring up an excellent point. In the one of the things that the article about D-Day mentioned again was that they had intended to put thousands and thousands of landmines along the beaches. And you and I, when we step out of our house, we have to be very much led by the Holy Spirit Detection Service, the HSDS, the Holy Spirit Detection Service that God has given us, so that we can be navigated supernaturally away from the landmines. If you walk in the wrong direction, if you go to the wrong place, you may step upon a landmine and it could take your life or damage you severely. So being led by the Holy Spirit in this hour is so important. And left to ourselves, we're no match for the secret powers of the darkness of the devil. But we have been given the Holy Spirit. There are landmines, there are arrows, there are missiles of attack, there are darts, there are strategies, there are temptations. We must really be careful in the day that we're living in.
Yes, you are so right. You are so right. Our relationship with Jesus, Yeshua, through the Holy Spirit, is the most important part of your life. In Him, everything you will ever need to be successful in overcoming the challenges you go through is in Him through the Holy Spirit. And you continually must make Him the author and the finisher of your faith by the Holy Spirit. He will lead you to overwhelming victory, even through the storms of life in which we're in.
Well, amen to that. And this is the power of the Holy Spirit. I just looked at our screen. We've got a number of people calling into the broadcast. We're going to do that right now. We're going to take some calls. It looks like at the very top of the list is coming in from 941. Good morning. God bless you. Welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air.
Hello, this is Dan from Florida. Can you hear me, sir?
I hear you loud and clear. Dan, how are you, sir?
I'm very, very, very good, very encouraged this morning. God bless you. I just had a couple comments I'd like to make.
Yes, of course.
I was glad you was talking about Donald Trump. I was glad you was talking about the charades, because I remember back last term when President Obama was in office, people were calling him evil and saying he was a false prophet, and people were against him and the mark of the beast with Obamacare and this and that. And I got on board. But since then, I changed my mind about Obama, and I don't think he's really evil. But what I do think is he is a worshiper of Baal. And what I think he's doing when he legalized gay marriage, it was equivalent to sacrificing to Baal. And I think that's what happens. Every 4 years, we see more children thrown into the fire, and mainly on the Democratic side. And this is a hope to please the spirit of Baal. I'm calling it the spirit of Baal, so that America can be great again. And that's not our God. That's not holiness. That's not the way. And that's not the Trump way. That's not the way the Lord sees this pleased. And I don't understand all the politics and strategies, but it seems like we err on purpose so that we can benefit and reap the spiritual benefits from it and in the long run. And I know I just said a mouthful, but anyhow, I don't think necessarily Obama or Democrats are evil. I just don't think they know God's will. They don't know God. They don't know, not all Democrats, but the ways of the Democrats seem to be, my opinion, Baal worshiping. I don't know how you think about that. Does that make any kind of sense?
Dan, this is Patricia, and yes, it makes all kinds of sense. In fact, Baal is growing as the god of this world, in very quick moments of time are being brought larger and larger for the attack of this false god. And we see this. We see it among the nations, and it's going all over the world, and it's come into our world. That's why we have to keep our eyes fixed on God's word. If we don't understand his word, we're going to be wondering what is going on. But it is explained in the word of God. And so that we can stay above the fray, so to speak, we have to stay above this evil force, because it had the world not too long ago in the book of Daniel. It was running rampant. And that's why Israel went down. And if we allow this to resonate and continue, and it's going to cause more and more of the hold on our hearts, on our nations, and it's going to try to break into us, we must believe that Jesus Christ is our answer, our only answer in the times we're in. You are correct.
Amen. And what I appreciate about Danny's comments is that he's searching it out, looking for answers. You know, there's a lot of trickery, smoke and mirrors, and this is why the Holy Spirit, ladies and gentlemen, in two nights, on Saturday night when the sun sets, Pentecost will begin. There's a prophetic word out there about the massive download that's coming to the body of Christ, a further equipping. And I pray that we're all prepared for that, so that we could be, we've made room, in other words. The idea is that we have made room for the Holy Spirit to bring a massive download by going through the trials that we've gone through, and get ready for a supernatural equipping to walk through this moment. We've got another call coming in, area code 715. Good morning. God bless you. Welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air.
Yes, good morning there.
Well, there's
Elder George. It's so good to hear your voice.
Well, I'm just going to say, you brought back, I was 12 years old when that Normandy. But what I remember was that in the community that I was living in, the National Guard was in war, and none of them come back home. And the impression. And then I also remember that in 1953, when I went into the Air Force, that we're training bombardiers. We had alongside of our training facility there some nuclear bombs, and we were all training for dropping bombs on Russia, and that was in 1953. And then I think about all the things at that time, the morals. We knew right from wrong. We didn't hear all these things that were bombarded us. That, and how the years have come to a point where you have to have Jesus Christ as your Savior to survive through all that's going on and be at a higher level. And I was thinking about, I was in a conversation with a gentleman just this last week, and he was saying that the United States still has the most superpower in the world of military and what have you. And after what you were reading, they sure haven't got there. That's how blinded our Americans are today. And I just say, praise the Lord and pass the ammunition.
Well, George, it is so good to hear from you. And you have brought some, thoughts up in my mind as you were talking. And what I heard you saying basically is that, and maybe this is the response to what you were saying, there needs to be a cleansing of the land. And we believe that there is a cleansing that is coming. Every single time throughout the history of the Bible, when God's people got out of whack, he would bring a cleansing, whether it was through invasion, whether it was through some other means or mechanisms. There's a time of cleansing. And I really do believe, because there's so many people that are caught in the snare, there are so many people being weighed down, there needs to be somewhat of an invasion within our nation. And we're praying that the Holy Spirit would bring that massive download to bring a cleansing to our land, a liberty to the captives, and that even in the midst of this time that we are living in, that's our hope. I hope for a massive download of the Holy Spirit. How about everybody else out there? How many of you can afford to receive a massive download of the Holy Spirit? Not for shrills and thrills and hanging from chandeliers, but a massive download of spiritual intelligence, a massive download of a supernatural ability to be guided by the Holy Spirit, a supernatural download of divine energy and strength to be able to endure every single day. If they had to endure in 1944 to go through every day, well, we're told that a 7-year, 3.5-year great tribulation, a time of great pressure, will be upon the earth. We need the supernatural, massive download of divine energy to, and I call that resurrection power, by the way. And because we are living in the prophetic third day, it is a day of resurrection power, and we need it. And I'm hoping for it. There are a lot of words out there concerning that we may be downloaded. Patricia, your thoughts at this time.
Absolutely. It is so imperative. These things that took place, these military activities that took place in the past, was just a foundation of the rising of the latter days to come forth. And this is what we're experiencing right now, the fulfillment of all things prophesied. And that's why Baal, this battle, is for the minds of the hearts of God's people. And we see that in his worship, he is bringing forth sexual promiscuity, and that's what he did in the days of old in Israel. sexual promiscuity through the media, through the movie industry, through music. This is his work. And we're going to discuss that more in the future. But it's breaking us down so that we are open to more attacks. And this is where the destruction of World War III comes in.
Yeah, this is why the operating in the armor of God, the supernatural armor of God, is so imperative in these days. Everybody should read Ephesians 6, 10 to 17 again. And then this massive download, this further equipping. When it comes to what Elder George said about, you know, the older guys saying America still has the great weapons. Remember, Russia possesses something called the doomsday machine, Poseidon. And this doomsday machine called Poseidon is the new Russian nuclear autonomous torpedo, and it may be a secret weapon to destroy U.S., British, and French SSBNs. Those are the submarines again. So Poseidon is a nuclear-powered robot submarine or torpedo armed with a nuclear warhead described by various Russian sources as ranging from 2 to 200 megatons. The latter, by far, the most powerful nuclear weapon ever built. Wow. And then, of course, the super EMP weapons deployed by Russia, China, and probably North Korea can generate 1 to 200 kilovolts or meters, far exceeding the U.S. military standard for EMP hardening, the 50 kilovolts meter. Thus, across North America, even the best protected U.S. military forces, including the Strategic Triad and its C-31, could be paralyzed. And so, again, if we're trusting in the United States, in our military power, or our alphabet agencies to protect us, we're in trouble. And we believe that the enemy is going to break through the barrier, and we are going to be walking through a war zone physically, as we are also walking through a spiritual war zone. But when that physical war zone breaks loose, it's going to open pits to demonic forces that are going to invade the land all over this world. And we're here, so we need to not be afraid. We need to be equipped. We need to be praying, God, send the massive download like you did on the day of Pentecost 2,000 years ago in an upper room in Jerusalem. May we, your people, gather together to receive an outpouring of your Holy Spirit. A lot of people have given up hope for that. They don't believe it. I not only believe it, but am desperate for it so that we could be more effective in our ministry and the things that we do in our personal lives on a daily basis. And I believe you need it as well. So let's agree for the massive download of the Holy Spirit. And yes, we don't have to wait for a day. We could receive it right now, but there's something about celebrating these feasts in the timing of the Lord. This is imperative, folks. Things are going to happen rapidly. I am seeing a summer of violence like we've never seen before. I don't know if it's true or not, but I believe that God is opening our eyes to be ready and to be equipped for this time. Final words, Patricia Joy Xavier, before we go today.
I think as we approach summer, what we're going to see is more and more of events that surprise us. I think it's going to build into a movement that is heading straight for the year to come, and that's 2020. And I think we're going to get ourselves in a position mentally to handle these events, call it the beginning of sorrow. I don't know what you want to call it, the beginning of the tribulation, but I do believe it is going to mount. It's going to cause us, you know, and it's going to go back and forth. It's going to be good success, and then it's going to be evil. It's going to be success on our part, and then it's going to be evil on the part of the liberals. And so it's going to go back and forth, but it's going to mount as it goes back and forth until it breaks loose in 2020. And by that time, we will be.
All right. Well, excellently well said. Tomorrow, we're going to pick up on this theme. We will be on the air tomorrow morning, this Friday, and we're going to conclude these last couple of weeks and hopefully crescendo into something that will be very meaningful for everybody out there. I want to thank you for tuning in today. I'm Vincent Xavier, pastor of New Wine Ministries, joined with my beloved wife, Pastor Patricia Joy Xavier. We're serving the Lord together, and we're doing our job. Thank you for considering your support to this radio ministry. It's an internet radio station. Right now, when you go to www.omegaradio.org, there's a roundtable discussion on getting delivered from a particular spirit. You're not going to want to miss that. So right now, www.omegaradio.org. We'll see you tomorrow. Keep your armor on, keep your eyes wide open, and ask the Lord for that massive download of the Holy Spirit in intelligence, in power, in energy, in every other way. Until we meet again, God bless. Shalom. Have a super blessed day.